Philippians chapter 16. We're coming to conclusion of this book. And brother, that was wonderful that you're a patriot, not a politician. Nobody's ever said that and explained it like that. And that is wonderful. The next generation, not the next election. Wow, what a wonderful truth. And I appreciate that so very much. And if I'm not done, if he has to leave, you let him go. But if he sticks around, can stick around. But I don't know. Chances of him still being here when I'm done will be slim, probably. But I'm going to try to get done. And if you got any questions, you can ask him. Otherwise, we'll get a number and you can call. But don't forget the election is this Tuesday, and all of us need to go out and vote. All right, we're talking about 1 Corinthians. Paul's come to a conclusion. In chapters 7 through 15 that we covered, spent a lot of time in that, he covered all the problems. He gave them, really what he did was he gave them doctrine. He gave them how to deal with marriage and divorce and the problems that they were having, the Lord's table. And you know, as we went through this, the immorals and immorality that was taking place. He covered the gifts and love in chapter 13 and all the things. He covered the resurrection in chapter 15. He gave them a lot of doctrine. So then he brings this letter to a conclusion. And when he brings it to a conclusion, he tells a little bit about himself and his life at the beginning. But then, as we talked about last week, he gave five commands, five last things he gave to the Corinthian church. Now, this wasn't doctrine, but in verses 13 and 14, he gave five commands. He told the Corinthian church, you better watch, watch ye. Number two, he said, stand fast in the faith. Keep this book before you. Follow this book. Don't let human wisdom change your thinking of this book. He said, quit ye like men. And then he said, be strong. And that was talking about the inward strength that comes as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then he gave the last one, the fifth one. He said, let all your things be done with charity or with love. But then what I think he does, and that is so important to me, because I told you this, there's two pillars. Now, Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. We know that. And the church is built upon Jesus Christ. But the pillars in that church, there's two pillars in the church that keep it up and make it function, and that's doctrine and love. Those are the two pillars of the church. The church has to have doctrine. It has to follow the Word of God, and everything they do and say has to be based upon the Bible, the Word of God. We've got to have the proper doctrine. But at the same time, we need to have love. And they have to balance each other out. I know a lot of churches today that have do wonderful in the area of doctrine, but they've done very poorly in love. And you get egotistical almost. You get that feeling of that they think they're better than anybody else. But then you've got the opposite. They've went away from doctrine and they've went just to love. And you get the feeling of it's a different type feeling. And that's why it's not the way I want to go. There's two pillars, doctrine and love, and they balance each other out. You have to have them both. So having doctrine, I think we understand that at Faith Baptist Church. You've been taught very well through the previous pastors before me. On Wednesday nights, we went through the major doctrines as we covered each of the doctrines. And I think you have the right concept of the doctrines. I don't think that's the battle. And I think the Corinthian church knew some of the doctrine. Some of the people knew the doctrine, but they had failed. But where they really failed and where churches fail today is having that balance of doctrine and love. And that's why Paul reminded them, let all your things be done with love. But then he gives, and he closes in 15 through 24, the last closing remarks that he has. I think he describes, because I think the Corinthian church was missing totally the pillar of love. And they were lopsided, and the church wasn't accomplishing. So he reminds them, let all things be done with charity or love. But then I think in the next few verses, he gives those marks. He gives those what it means to have love in a church. You see, you could sit back and say, yeah, we have proper doctrine. And at Faith Baptist Church, we have proper love. But what does that look like? What does the pillar of love look like? What does it mean that I have the right love? I think doctrine we can understand because that's the Word of God. But love is something that's out there. And what does it mean to have the love for the community, the love for Christ, the love for each other? Well, Paul says, let all things be done with love. But then he doesn't leave it there, because then he begins to describe what that looks like in a church. And I've come up with seven areas of love that Paul talks about that were needed in the Corinthian church, and I think are needed at Faith Baptist Church. So you take a look at your own life. You take a look at Faith Baptist Church as a whole. I think doctrine, we're pretty solid. But here's the question: do we balance it with love? Are we balancing it with love? Let's take a look. Paul said this in verse 15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. That's the first thing you need. And Paul, you've got to look outside the box here a little bit. But I call that, as Paul is saying, the area of love is you need to reach out to a lost and dying world. That's what Paul's talking about here. He said to the brethren of the household of Stephanas, that it was the first fruits of Achaia. That's the idea. The members of the household of Stephanas were among the first converts in Corinth, and they became the first fruits of Paul's evangelistic work in Achaia, which represents Athens and Corinth, where the Corinthian church, the church of Corinth, is located. They were the first fruits. They were the first ones that Paul led to Christ while he was there. And when he preached the gospel to them, they got saved. You see, a lot of people that Paul preached to were skeptical, and they rejected the gospel in Corinth. That's why we know in Acts chapter 17, verse 34, it talks about that a little bit. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, but among them, which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them, there were a few that stuck with Paul, but the most of them rejected him. But the household of Stephanas, they were in the Corinthian church, and they're the ones who got saved, and that they were the first fruits. That gave Paul the permission that he needed to go forth and establish the church of Corinth. See, if you understand what the first fruits are, that when the Old Testament, they planted their crops, and that would be the first fruits. They would plant just a section of crops. That would be the first fruits. That's the first ones they planted. And therefore, when they ripened, they were harvested first. And when they would take those first fruits and check the first fruits, and if they were ripened and they were ready to go, then they would know the same time frame that the rest of the field that they planted would be ready to go as well. So the first fruits, they would take those first fruits and take them to the temple, give them as a sacrifice or whatever to the priest for the work of the ministry there in the temple. But it was the first fruits that would tell a farmer if the rest of the crop was ready. And so they didn't just go out and pick by random. They would look at the first fruits and pick the first fruits. And if it was ready, they would know the time frame where the rest of the crops would be ready. Well, that's a little bit what Paul's saying here. When he went to the Corinth and he was in Corinth and Athens area, he led this family to Christ, the household of Stephanas, and they were the first fruits. That told him that this area was a little bit ripe for the picking. And the idea there is Paul had an outreach through reaching out. And that's where he says that's one of those marks of the pillar of a church. Do you have the proper love? Are you reaching out to a lost and dying world? Reaching out, the early church would express its love for people. The fact is that if we love God in the same way that God loves us, we too will reach out with the gospel to those who know Christ. That conveys a burden that we have for people so that they do not spend an eternity in hell. And that's one of the first marks of, do we have proper love at Faith Baptist Church? Do we have a passion and a love for the world that's lost and dying and going to hell? You know, when is, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but when is the last time you invited somebody? When's the last time you talked to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time you tried to give your testimony to somebody to influence them for Christ? When is the last time? I know we've got a few people in this church that are very good at it. But the mark of a church that balances love and doctrine, the first mark is, do we have a burden for the lost? Do we have a burden for those who are going to die one day and spend an eternity in hell? I put it this way. Do I, in my life, give the Holy Spirit a reason to work? Have I given the gospel to anybody this week? Have I given the gospel to anybody this month? You know, in my position, in my where I'm at, I spend a lot of time, and we do a lot of projects at the church, and I do a lot of time in my study, and I'm in my office, and I'm not out in the community as much. You know what? I'm not around a lot of unsaved people. And that's why I'm so thankful that beginning a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, Gary Anderson and I have had the opportunity to go out and just present the gospel door to door. And we haven't done a lot because when I first got here, that's the ministry that I used and was in charge of at Faith of Warren. And we passed out over 500,000 tracts in those years of door knocking. And so I thought I could do the same thing when I came to Fremont. But when we did that and saturated this town, oh boy, we got ourselves in trouble with the police. We got ourselves in trouble with the community. We got the police called on us like at least 4 or 5 times. They came out and told me to calm down a little bit, to not, and blah, 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 blah. And so I backed off a little bit, but I just came to the conclusion. And I'm trying to do it on a softer basis this time, but I came to the conclusion I have to get out where the community is. I have to give a gospel tract to somebody. Not necessarily, I mean, I'd love them to get saved. I would love to lead them to Christ at the door. But I just want to get the gospel into somebody's hands to give the Holy Spirit a chance, a reason to work. That's the key. You see, I've been out with people who are soul winners. And they were pretty aggressive at the door. And it was almost like when they led somebody to Christ. And I know what I'm talking about. You don't even know how many hours I spent knocking on doors in Warren and Detroit and South Detroit and northern part of Detroit and Sterling Heights and all those different areas. But it was like they would put a notch in their belt if they won somebody to Christ. But that's not my desire. I mean, I want everybody to be saved. But my desire when I go to a door is just simply to give a gospel tract and tell them that they can know for sure that when they die, they're going to spend eternity in heaven. And I ask them this question, have you ever thought about it? Would you please read this tract? Would you please give the Holy Spirit a chance to work? Let the Holy Spirit, listen, you don't lead somebody to Christ, the Holy Spirit does. Now, the Holy Spirit may use you to bring somebody to the point where they get saved, but you don't lead them to Christ. They pray and ask the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart to save them, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that does it. And so we need to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. And that's part of love. Paul says, do you have enough love to reach out to a lost and dying world that's going to spend an eternity in hell? Boy, that's the key. That's what Paul's talking about. That's one of the pillars of love. That, you want to know if you have the pillar of love? Do you have a burden for the lost? Do you think about it that there's people you know that are one day going to spend an eternity in hell? Something happened last week that really brought this home to me, burned my heart. You know, my mom got some wood delivered. She found a place online that would deliver wood, and he did a good job. And he wasn't an older gentleman. He was pretty young, really compared to this congregation. He was pretty young. He delivered, and he gave mom, I thought he gave mom 3-quart of wood, what he promised. He split it into smaller chunks because she's older and can't lift that much weight into and put it in a furnace. He cut it in whatever length she wanted. He said, I'll cut it in length, I'll split it, I'll put it up to you. And he brought the wood, and I was a little skeptical at first. He brought the wood, I was over there, backed him in, and he dumped it right where I asked him to dump it, and he did just a wonderful job. He said, I'll be back with a second load. He came and brought a second load and brought it back. And it looks like it's oak. It's a dry oak. Everything was good about it. And so I said, thank you. He said, well, that's the key. I want to please you because that's how I get. So I went into the house. Brother Bob was there, and he talked to him for a few minutes. I went in the house to get him his money to pay him. But I didn't have a gospel track. I didn't have any with me because I was working. And when I work, I sweat like a lot, and I destroy the tracks, and I hate to give somebody a track that's just, well, it's just filthy. So I didn't have a track to get him. But you know what I said? I went out and told him, I said, here's the money, but you'll be hearing back from me. Because I knew I'd call him back. Because he did such a good job. But then I got a phone call on Friday. That was on Tuesday. On Friday, his son called me and said, this is my dad's phone. Because he had called me to deliver the wood. And he said, I'm just trying to figure out who and what, because my dad last night was driving in his truck or whatever, and he went off the road and hit a tree and it killed him. That's the accident out on Baldwin Road. My mom and I had both the same response. We should have given him that gospel track. He's in eternity. I don't know. I can hope he trusted Christ somewhere along the line. But I never gave the Holy Spirit a chance to work. So I vowed that day. I was going to remember. I was going to remind myself to give out a gospel tract. Because that's the mark of a pillar. That's the mark of love. Do I have a burden for somebody? Have I given the gospel tract? And I'm just saying, in the last month, have I given a gospel tract? Have I invited somebody to church? Have I given my testimony? Have I did something, and it could be something little, just to influence somebody to Christ, that they would know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day, that they won't have to spend an eternity in hell. Now, I know some people, and it's amazing to me, some people just say, I know I'm going to hell and I'm okay with that. But not everybody knows that. And that's the mark. And that's what Paul's trying to say here to the Corinthian church. He said, I went into Corinth and I began to talk and give out the gospel, and the household of Stephanus, that was my first fruits. God gave me those first fruits. And that's what told me that I could establish and continue the work here. And for a year and a half, Paul remained in Corinth, establishing the church of Corinth there. But it was a pillar that established that church. That was a pillar that it was reaching out to a lost and dying world. That's why Paul wrote this. Let me just tell you, you know, you think about Paul. He was a persecutor of Jews. You know how many people he had killed? Probably hundreds and thousands. He broke up homes. He went in and hauled people into prison. He hated Jews before his salvation. Think about it after he got saved. He was either going to have a good testimony where everybody listened to him or nobody listened to him. I mean, he was a persecutor, a killer of Christians. Paul had a rough time, I think, in areas. And that's why everywhere he went, the Jews rose up against him. But look what Paul said in Romans chapter 9. Listen, just listen to this. He said, I say the truth in Christ. What I'm telling you is the truth. And I'm not lying. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. You know what Paul's saying? I would give up my eternity in heaven if that meant my brethren, the Jews, would trust Christ as their Savior. I'll go to hell for them if that meant that they could just get saved. Boy, that's a powerful thought, folks. I don't know if I could say that. That I'd give up my eternal home in heaven, the thing I've worked for the most, in order for the city of Fremont to be saved. But that was Paul's heartbeat. That's what he said, the pillar of love. Now, I don't think it's got to be exactly that. But that pillar of love, you say, well, we have love of Faith Baptist Church, but do we? When's the last time we gave out the gospel? When's the last time you invited somebody? And I'm not saying it has to be every minute of every week. But I think some of you have probably gone years without sharing something, a track. Man, put tracks in your mail that you send a bill. And I know a lot of bill pay is done online and stuff like this, but find a way to get out the gospel that the Holy Spirit can work, that people can be saved. That's what Paul says. Is that your burden? You know, I also reminded myself of Moses. Remember when Israel just went ballistic against Moses? They had a real problem with Moses. And they were complaining about Moses. They were complaining against God and everything. And God pulled Moses aside. And I'm paraphrasing this. He said, you know what, Moses? I'm going to destroy this. Now I'll create for you a great nation. I'm going to create for you another nation, but I'm going to destroy this nation. All they've done is cursed you. They've went against you. They've went against me. They've griped and complained. I'm just going to wipe out the entire nation, and I'll form for you and make for you another nation. Here was Moses' response. He said, "Oh God, that this people have sinned. Yea, now, if thou wert forgive them, please forgive them. But if not," he said, "blot me out, I pray thee, out of the book that thou hast written." Now, Moses can't lose his salvation. But he said, "God, if you can't forgive these people." I mean, these people were critical of Moses. They were critical of God. They complained about everything. They were complaining people. And Moses said, if you can't forgive them, God, then I don't deserve to be forgiven. What a passion, what a love that Moses had for Israel. And that's one of the pillars that kept Israel together. I believe that Moses had that type of love for people. I read an article, story, a book about John Knox. He said, "Give me Scotland for Christ or I die." I'm not saying to that magnitude, but I'm saying one of the pillars. If you want to see if Faith Baptist Church has the pillar of doctrine, which I'm pretty sure we're doing good. But do we have the pillar of love? What's the pillar of love look like? Number one, it looks like that I have a passion. I have a desire that nobody would go to the hell. Simply, I want to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to work. That's the first mark. That's what Paul said. That's what the Corinthian church should look like. But let me give you a second one real quickly. The second mark you'd find in verse 15 as well, and I love this, and he says this, "And they that have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." So he said the house of Stephanas were the first fruits, and they, the household of Stephanas, have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I think the second pillar of love, that we have a service for each other. They had a ministry to the saints. Again, they addicted themselves to that ministry. But that word addicted, they addicted themselves, it's interesting. But you got to go to the Greek to find an intense form of this verb. That the intense form of this verb would be better translated if you looked at it and see the parsing and the different ways you tear apart this in the Greek, you would find out that this phrase would be better translated, "they themselves addicted themselves to the work of the ministry." They themselves addicted. That's what Paul's saying here. They themselves addicted themselves to the work of ministry. They weren't coerced into doing it. They weren't guilted into do it. They weren't told to do it by the pastor. They weren't told to do it by the deacons. They weren't told to do it by anybody. They simply addicted themselves to do the work of the ministry. They themselves addicted themselves to do the work of the ministry of the saints. They just saw the need. They spontaneously assigned themselves to help with any need they saw amongst the saints. The service was self-motivated and self-assigned. And they saw the work that needed to be done. And that work of the ministry comes from the word of diakonia, which is in the Greek that we get our word deacon today. And the deacons, if you look it up in Acts 6:2, we don't have time to, but if you look it up in Acts 6:2, they brought deacons to serve the widows. That was their ministry, to serve the widows. But that soon developed into the idea of a humble, submissive, personal service, not simply by an office or with a particular function. It grew into a ministry for the saints. But here's the key. If you could get this, if you want that pillar of love, you want to see if it's at Faith Baptist Church? They themselves addicted themselves to the work of ministry. It's not based on, the pastor told me I had to do it. The pastor told us we have a need. No, they themselves addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. They saw it because the Spirit of God showed it to them. You know, we have deacons in this church, and I'm appreciative of them very much. They do a lot of things behind the scenes that you don't know of. They take care of all the money. They help me make all the decisions that we bring before the church. And they do things that you don't even know about. And so I'm very appreciative to the deacons. But you know, here would be my prayer. Here's my prayer for our deacons. If one day I woke up and said, well, I don't want deacons anymore. And so you guys are no longer deacons. We're going to take away that office from Faith Baptist Church. Now, I'm not going to do that, but if I did, and you're no longer going to be deacons, you know what I'd be interested to see? Do they still serve? Do they still do all those things behind the scenes that they need to do for Faith Baptist Church to function? Or did they do it because they were appointed to an office? Man, I don't want you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because you're appointed to an office. You're appointed to become a Sunday school teacher. I want you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because you yourself addicted yourself to the work of the ministry. It's because you saw the need. You saw the desire, and that's what they did. Paul said, I didn't have to tell Stephanas and his household what to do. They just simply saw the need, and they addicted themselves to the work of the ministry of the saints. Now, that word addicted is an interesting word because we don't like to talk about it, because the best way to describe it is somebody who's being addicted to drugs. You know, there's a I don't know, it's a characteristics of somebody who's got an addiction to drugs. There's some aspects, some steps that take place. The first step of somebody who's like addicted to drugs, it becomes a strong habit. This is what I read as I researched this. What's it mean to be addicted to drugs? It's a strong habit, overpowering desire or compulsion to take a given drug. That's where it begins. So you have a strong desire, overwhelming desire, and it becomes a habit in taking a drug. But the second stage is it involves a growing tolerance to that drug, so that in order to maintain the desired effect, larger and larger doses must be taken. You either take a higher dose of that drug or you take it more often, because it just doesn't satisfy. It just requires more and more and more. Then the third aspect of the third step is a dependence, the state in which the addicted person must have a drug in order to function. You see, that's the idea. Now, we don't like to associate, because that's drug addiction, but that's the principle of the same word that Paul used here. It's an addiction. It becomes habit forming. Because something you just do. You have an overwhelming sense of desire to do it. That's what they did. They have an overwhelming sense of desire to work them, the ministry of the saints. They saw a need, they would help. And it literally became overpowering to them that the more they did it, you know what? The more they needed to do it, and the more they did do it. And then it became something that they couldn't live without. Now, Paul says they themselves addicted themselves to the work of the ministry. They weren't assigned by him. They weren't assigned by Apollos. They weren't assigned by Peter. They weren't told they needed to do this. They just simply saw the need, and that's the idea of that pillar of love, that you see the need, and you yourselves addicted yourself to the work of the ministry of saints. You see the need, you fill the need. And the more you feel that need, the more you're going to want to feel that need, because it blesses your heart. But I'm telling you what, when I do something for somebody, it doesn't bless them. You know what blesses? Me. Man, I used to go sit with Mrs. Weingarten. Oh, I just wanted to be a blessing to her. But you know what? It was just opposite. When I left there, you know who the blessing was? It was she was the blessing to me. And every time I make a visit to somebody, and Gary and I have had the opportunity to go out more and more, and we're going to go out more and more. But every time I go to somebody's home, I just want to be a blessing. But you know where the blessing comes is? It comes from them to me. I leave there with my heart just thrilled and overflowing. But Stephanus, the whole household, they themselves addicted themselves to do the work of the ministry. They saw the need and fulfilled that need. That's such an amazing and powerful truth. They were addicted to the Lord's work. The Apostle Paul was addicted. You know what? When I traveled Neighborhood Bible Time, I saw God use really me for the first time. I got to preach to crowds. My biggest rally I had was 1,033 kids. I got to preach and I got to do things. I saw some of the most amazing results from the teenagers that I've ever seen. I wish I had time to tell you the results of in Canada. I had the greatest results on a Thursday night of teenagers that I've ever seen in my life. I saw the Spirit of God just break hearts and break lives, and people walk down this aisle and fall on the face with tears streaming down their face to trust Christ as their Savior. I saw that God could work. I saw that. And you know what? As a young man, I got addicted. I went back to school and barely finished school because I was addicted. I wanted to get out in the ministry. I wanted to get out there in the battle. I wanted to get out there and function. And it wasn't because Dr. Cedarholm told me I had to. It wasn't because my Bible teachers told me I had to get out there. And I had to do it. Me, myself, I addicted myself to do the work of the ministry of the saints. It became addiction. It's something I got to have. People have told me, Pastor, you need to take a day off. And I look at him and say, why? I'm addicted. I tell my wife it's the Apostle Paul's fault that I'm addicted. It's Brother Holmstrom's fault that I'm addicted. Children are here, and they got left out a few things. I thank God for a wife that stepped up. They got left behind because the ministry, it was so needful. There were so many things to do. And I'm not saying you need to neglect your family or anything like that, but I got addicted. But it wasn't because anybody made me. You know what? When I retire and not take a salary, that's what I talk about, retire. When this church doesn't pay me a salary, and I can work for this church, I hope I work exactly just as hard for this church if I get paid or I don't get paid. You say, Pastor, and the new pastor that comes in and I step aside and he allows me to stay in here, you know what? It doesn't matter if I'm pastor or not. I hope you see me work just as hard because I'm not doing it because of a position. I'm not doing it because somebody told me I had to. I'm doing it because I myself addicted myself to the work of the ministry of the saints. That's what Paul's talking about here. I'm not saying you have to give up everything. No, that's what I'm talking about. But are you addicted? When's the last person you visited? When's the last person you took a meal to? When's the last person you saw a need and you just said, you know what, I think I can be a blessing? I tell you what, you do that a couple times, you'll addict yourself to the work of the ministry of the saints because it's such a blessing to be used of God to make a difference. See, that's that pillar. So you sit back and say, well, Faith-Fed Church, we have doctrine, and I think we do. But the question is, do we have love? And so Paul, to conclude, gave what it looks like to have love. It's having a burden for the lost. It's reaching out to the lost. But number two is the household of Stephanus. They were themselves, not because the pastor told them to, not because they served an office of deacon, not because Stephanus had as an office of or a position of being a Sunday school teacher. I don't know what they did. I don't know if they had any offices, but I do know this. Paul said they have addicted, they themselves have addicted themselves to the work of ministry. That's the pillar of love. When you get a burden for others, you do something about that burden. That's that pillar of love. To the lost, but to the saints. Those are the first two marks of love. And so will you examine in your heart, do we have that at Faith Baptist Church? Do we have that here? I want every eye to bow and every close. And Brother Fox, you need to get out of here. It's past noon. And we'll get a hold of him if we need have any questions. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, we've looked at that love. And you know what? At Faith Baptist Church, we just assume, yeah, we're a good church. We have doctrine. But we balance it with love, but do we? Do we have a burden for the lost? Do we have a burden for the unsaved? That they do not go to hell? That you can't save them, but you can at least let the Holy Spirit have a chance? Have you had yourselves, not by guilt, not by office or position, but just simply, has the Spirit of God spoken to you and you yourself has addicted yourself? Maybe it's in prayer. Maybe it's in visiting. Maybe it's in just being an encourager. I don't know what it is, but it's what the Spirit of God leads you to do, like the household of Stephanus. That's that pillar of love. Oh, wouldn't it be great when the pastor doesn't have to ask you to serve anymore? You serve because you simply see the need. The pastor doesn't have to tell you that this needs to be done because you see the need and the Spirit of God moves in your heart. And you yourself simply has an addiction yourself. You addict yourself to do the work of the ministry of the saints. Father, help that to be true of Faith Baptist Church. Oh, I want so badly us to have right doctrine. And I endeavor to do that as their pastor to lead them and teach them about the doctrines of the Word of God. But Lord, this pillar of love, I've looked at it differently. And so Lord, I pray that you'll use Paul's message here. He gives seven. We only covered two. There's five more. Five more marks of love to create that balance, that church that God wants to use in a powerful way. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to give a come forward invitation. So we're not done yet.